Praise the Lord, saints. I've been thinking about easy and light burdens. That's what the world does not have. That's what we have. There's a reason why we have that. We've often heard it in these meetings, especially from Brother Ivan. Come unto me. That's Matthew 11:28. It is chapter 11, 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the secret is in going to him. It's not in going to our friends or to the dance hall or to the drug or to the alcohol. It's in, or to that person. It's in going to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Often comes to our mind about working, but this talking about laboring under a heavy burden, laboring under evil spirits, laboring under the burden of sin, laboring under the burden of guilt, laboring under the burden of worry. Come unto me, all you that labor, you're laboring under, you're trying to get out of from under, you can't, you're a slave to it, and are heavy laden, you're just bowed over, and you can just barely handle life because you're heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke, Jesus said, upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall, not maybe, not possibly, you will, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do we want this rest, saints? Then why are we going to other sources trying to find a lot? Our burden being lifted lighter through those other sources. The only source is Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell two stories. They just came to my mind. Real life stories. Occurrences in our life as missionaries. One was we were in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Those who don't know who I am, my name is Tony Sanchez. That's my wife, Lizette Sanchez. And we've been with the saints now since 2007. And in this Evening Light Reformation. And the Lord called us to preach in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico in 2007. That was 16 years ago. And during those first 3 years, we were walking down the streets in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. And I just prayed for a man dressed like a woman in drag that he wanted to repent and wanted to change his lifestyle. And I prayed for him. It was dark. My wife and I were together. And then as I turned my head, leaving that man that I just prayed for, a man was looking at me. He says, you know what? If you had hope for that guy, he says, maybe there's hope for me. I said, what's wrong? He says, I killed somebody. I said, okay. He says, I can't sleep, and I feel horrible about it, and I haven't told anybody except for you, something like that, he said. And I want to kill myself, he said. I said, there's no hope for me, nothing. And I said, no, wait a minute. Don't kill yourself. I said, yes, there is. Just like there was the hope for that guy dressed in drag, dressed like a woman. There's hope for you too. He goes, I don't believe it. But obviously he felt something else. He wouldn't stop. So I told him, you know what? Jesus said it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. If you're repenting, you're sorry, he'll throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. He'll forgive you and wash in his blood. He goes, I find that hard to believe. He goes, yes, you'll feel it in your heart, I told him. So I finally convinced him and to pray for him, and I prayed for him, and then he prayed. I said, you want to pray to repent and be saved? And he said, yes, and he prayed. Kind of like on the verge of believing, not believing. But when he got through praying, and this guy was like all dirty, and he was like demon-possessed, like real sad, and I know he wanted to kill himself. When he got through praying, he straightened up, and he said, whoa, what happened to me? He said, I just felt a burden lifted. He said, I feel like I'm lighter, like, I don't know. I feel like singing. And he started singing. And he went away singing. I believe God saved him right there. The Lord saw him hunched over with that heavy burden of guilt. I don't know what he had done, but it was something horrible. He killed somebody. How he had done it, I don't know the details. But Jesus said, come unto me. He says, oh, ye that are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he went off happy singing. My wife is right there, she remembers that. There might be more juicy details to it, but I've forgotten them now. But it was a really interesting night for us. And then we were in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. This was before we started missionary work. And my wife and I had a house cleaning business for 10 years. And we were taking a break in between house cleaning. We were entering a Whataburger. And there was this guy down there with matted hair, as you see them, bum on the street, out of his mind and talking to himself. And sitting there, and usually I had compassion on the poor, but I was hungry. And we'd been working. I walked past him, and something said to me, and it was God, says, "Before you eat, buy him a Whataburger." And I said, "Oh, Lord, I'm tired, and I just want to sit down and eat." And I know, okay, I said, "I'll do it." So I bought him a Whataburger, and I took it out to him. I said, "Wife, honey, just wait in there. I'll be right into the restaurant." And I knelt down, I handed him the Whataburger and a drink and talked to him. And I asked his name and all the things that you do as a pastor talking to him. And I found out that he had been a Mormon, and he had gone into the military somewhere and fought in a war, and he was left like out of his mind. And I told him, "You know, I'm a believer," and I said, "I'm a pastor, and would you like for me to pray that God will help you and restore your faith so you can believe in him again?" He says, "Yes." And, you know, I didn't think he'd ever, so I knelt down, I prayed, and I put my hands, and somehow I had my hands like in front of him, right, praying for him. And when he bowed his head, we were praying, and I prayed that God would help him and strengthen him and lift the burden and save his soul. And then he prayed. And as he was praying to be saved and repenting, I felt something hot falling right here on my hands. And I looked, and he was crying. He was weeping. Anyway, I prayed for him, and I got up and I went inside. But months later, my wife and I were passing by a Dunkin' Donuts. And I love donuts. And I looked at the Dunkin' Donuts, and I looked down. There was a man sitting in front of Dunkin' Donuts, dressed up and his hair cut, and was reading something. And I said, "That looks like that guy." I said, "No, that can't be him." I said, "That is him." So I stopped the car, and I went and talked to him. He was reading a Bible. And I said, "Do you remember me?" He goes, "No." I said, "I talked to you about 2 months ago." "That's okay." I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading about the birth of Jesus and how it all took place, and I just really enjoyed it." And that was a confirmation to me that God had saved him. And he was no longer like crazy. He was talking normally, but sitting there. And so there's many more of people that have come to Jesus. Maybe that's been your experience. And the burden has been lifted. The tears fall, and you repent, and he'll take that heavy burden away from you. I've always read in Exodus 1:11 about how the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh arose, a new king arose, and he set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, made their lives bitter, hard, with hard bondage, with mortar and brick. And then it says in Exodus 2:23 that they cried unto God. And you know, we have a tough taskmaster of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. His name is Satan. And if you have not yielded to Jesus, whether you want to admit or not, you're his peon, you're his slave. And if he snaps his finger, you have to go to the bar. Go steal that old lady's purse, you have to go do it, because he's your boss and you're his slave. But the children of Israel got tired of their slave master, and they cried out to God, and he delivered him. He sent Moses in there. Remember, there's a story. Are you heavy burden? Do you know, it just, your freedom, your lifting of your heavy burden is just one cry away. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And God did save them. He did take them out of their bondage. I was thinking of these heavy burdens being, we heard some about the good fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, but I'd like to mention today from Galatians 5:19, these are the things that burden people. These are the things that are heavy weights. It says, and the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Some of those words in there, strife and seditions, are fighting and arguing and bickering. These are the things that have people burned today. And these are the things from which Christ wants to set us free today. I love that story of the two walking on the way to Emmaus. They talked together. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And then he asked them about their manner of communication. That's in Luke 24:13-34. And that they were sad, it says in verse 14. And then later on when he left, after he had opened up the scripture to them and revealed to them how Christ had to be crucified and had to resurrect, and later on they said, as Jesus disappeared, did not our heart burn within us? In that process of visiting with Jesus, their sadness went away, and they felt like a burning, a joy within their souls. And I want to tell you that as you allow Jesus to draw near to you, as you welcome him with you, and you have him walk with you, and you walk with him, all of your burdens are going to be lightened. So thankful that we can be turned from sadness into joy. It says in Psalms 68, verse 19, there is a positive weight. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. You know, some people ask us, or tell me, they make the comment that, oh, or they make in prayer, oh, this help us with the way, it's so long and so hard and so difficult. I'm going, what are you talking about? The way of the sinner is hard. Being without Jesus is difficult. Being with Jesus, it's a piece of cake. Yes, we have our trials, tribulations, and struggles, but we have him with us through them. Amen? I just love this, that he loads us with benefits. There was once a little boy carrying this big pile of firewood, and the people said, how aren't you too small to be carrying? And he says, no, my daddy loaded me. He knows how much I can carry. And the Lord loads us with benefits. He loads us with joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. He loads us with a wonderful fellowship in Christ. He loads us with, you name it, just so many wonderful benefits. That's our burden, saints. Just being filled up with gifts from the Lord, and it's wonderful to carry them. He loadeth us with benefits. Oh, the benefit of having our sins forgiven. All these wonderful benefits that we have in Christ. It says in Psalms 69:20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Do you feel that you're full of heaviness today? You don't have to be heavy anymore. You can get up and run and leap for joy. I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. There is a legend about a man carrying, he was burdened over carrying a heavy load, a sack, and somebody saw him and says, can I look in your sack? What are you carrying? And he opened it up and he showed them. They couldn't see anything. He says, what are you carrying? He goes, I'm carrying my worries of yesterday, all those things that happened yesterday. I'm so concerned about them. They might catch up with me and what's going to occur because I did this and that. And the other one was, I'm carrying my worries for the future, yesterday and the future. And isn't that often the way the devil tries to get us? We get concerned about what happened and what we said and what we didn't do, and we get burdened. We just need to lay it all down and lay it at Jesus' feet. And we start thinking about the future. What if this happens and that happens? And we start getting burdened. Well, the other man said, you have nothing in there. Because you know what? Nobody can see our worries and burdens. But I've met many people that have no joy. They can't sing. They can't pray. They can't rejoice. They can't testify. Because there's a burden and you can't see no burdens on them. They have this big sack of worries. Oh, saints, I'm so thankful that there's someone that we can lay our burdens at his feet. Amen. Amen. There was that woman, I love this story, in Luke. Praise the Lord. Before I tell about the woman, there's a there's a portion of a song that I like to sing. Lay down your heavy burden, oh weary sin sick soul. Come to the great physician, he will make you whole. The master's voice is calling, he shed his precious blood, that you might be forgiven, bringing you nigh to God. Lay down your heavy burden, O weary sin sick soul. Come to the great physician, and he will make you whole. Oh, we can lay down our heavy burden. Oh, weary sin sick soul. Come to the great physician, and he will make you whole. And that's what this woman did. In Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. You can just picture this whole body portion being like that and walking like this. All she could see was down, not up. And you know, there are people that are walking like that. They're so depressed. All they see is negative, and this happened to me, and this is going wrong, and that has gone wrong. And like those country songs, they ran over my dog, and my girlfriend left me, and everything's wrong. She was bowed over. All she could think about was negative. And it says, she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And you know, you can't lift yourself up. You can't undo yourself of that burden. But we're thankful that there is someone who can. It doesn't matter how deep and how great and heavy your burden is. Maybe it's marital problems. Maybe it's financial problems, business problems, difficulties with your children, with your family, with your neighbors, etc., etc. And you've tried everything and you can't undo the burden. We can cast it all at Jesus' feet. Anyway, she came to Jesus. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Jesus is calling you to himself. We're spending too much time on the cell phone, saints. Some are spending too much time at that bar. Too much time with the friends. And I'm telling you, they are not the ones that can undo your heavy burden. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine burden. Would you like to be loose today? Would you like to be loose from your burden? Stop going to the wrong place. Come to Jesus. Stop looking in the wrong place. Turn to Jesus. Stop looking for advice from everybody except for Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus is the one that can lift your heavy burden and set you free. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You notice that immediately he took away the heavy burden, she could straighten up. These demon spirits that had her possessed and bent over, she was freed from them. It says in verse 16, they started criticizing him because he healed her on the Sabbath. And he said, Jesus said in verse 16 of Luke 13, And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Whom Satan hath bound. The only one that can set you free if Satan has you bound is Jesus himself. Nobody else can do it. No one. No lawyer. No matter how much money you pay the lawyer, he can't set you free. He can't get you out of this one. The only one is our great high priest that's interceding for us. There's another song that I love. I can sing it. Oh, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. Oh, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you. There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, God cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. Oh, if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, my brother, He will carry you. Oh, if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, my sister, He will carry you. If Jesus is bearing the whole weight of the world, let's not be afraid as individuals to come to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I've always loved these verses. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. That's our part. Jesus wants to take it away from us, but we also have to do our laying aside. Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. And no, it just says weight. Later on it says sin. There are legitimate weights that we carry. Concerns about our children, our marriage, financial, our future, our retirement, our health, whatever. Those are legitimate worries. They're not sinful. But if we carry them all the time and don't know how to carry them, they're going to cripple us. We're pretty soon going to be like that woman bent over because we can't carry it. We have to know when to lay it all at Jesus' feet. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Are you weighted today? Do you feel burdened? Something burdening you. You, saved child of God. You, sanctified child of God. Let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When I was younger, I'm 57 now. Some might say I'm still young. When I was younger, in my 20s, I used to love to hike. I hiked up and down La Luz Trail in Albuquerque, New Mexico many times. 7 hours round trip. 7.5 miles round trip. Up and down. I hiked up this mountain, down that canyon, walked through caves and all kinds of exciting things. But one of the things that I enjoyed was doing the Grand Canyon, called the Kaibab Trail. And it's also 7.3 miles all the way down. I never did go all the way down, but we visited the Grand Canyon about three different times, and we were always rushing as ministers. So I always went down halfway and then came back out. Going down was about 3.5 miles. And then I took about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And then coming out, it took about 5 hours. Because going down is easy, but going up, the trail is steep. And it's hot, and you get tired. And the way coming back up, I often saw these big backpacks, you know, with the metal things, with the sleeping bag on top, and all this expensive equipment just left there abandoned. I said, aren't they afraid that someone's going to steal it? Then you go some more up, and you see another one. What had happened? They had gone down. All the way down, slept the night down there, and come back out, and they found out they didn't have the strength to come out with their burden. And they had to decide, I'm either going to count this $600 worth of equipment more valuable than my life. And they couldn't carry the burden, so they had to do what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. You know, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to decide, you know, this drug is not worth it. You know, this woman and these illicit affairs are not worth it. You know, this attitude that I have of anger and of wrath and of getting even and backbiting is not worth it. I've got to lay it aside. And I thought, wow, why are they leaving behind these expensive things? Well, they said, honey, I've got to get rid of this. I have to spare myself. And they'd make it out as much as they could. I see them walking like this, barely making it. I was young and I was, and I go, can I help you? Go, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. They're going, climbing up, out. They had laid aside, you know what? We got to lay aside our burdens. If we don't lay aside our burdens, we're not going to make it, saints. If we want to run the race, you know, when somebody's running a race, have you seen anybody running a race with a big TV? You know what people are holding on to their television? But it's no longer like that. It's in a little cell phone. They're watching movies. And they're feeding on that. And it's burning them down with this worldliness and that worldliness and that attitude. And, oh, does God really exist? And did God really create the world? Or was it created on its own? You know, there's an agenda on our cell phone in those movies. And it's going to burn us down if we're not careful. We got to lay aside everything. This jealousy, this desire to of fame and of being recognized, we got to lay it aside. If we don't lay it aside, we're not going to make it out. And so I learned a lesson from those people that they're willing to leave behind that expensive equipment. It meant either them, that equipment, or their lives, and they left it behind. We have to get to the point that all those things of the world don't matter anymore. Amen. Attitudes and ambitions that are not godly, we have to lay them aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race. Someone that's running a race, they don't want anything pulling them back or holding them down. They get rid of everything. Isn't that right? You're not going to run a race with these big bars of gold because you don't want to go to the gold. Let go of the gold and run the race if you want to win it. Huh? May the Lord help us to lay aside every weight. Every weight. There was a woman in the well, and Brother Ivan mentioned her too. She came burdened. She was living an adulterous, fornicating life. She came with her water pot, talked to Jesus, and, you know, I'm a woman of Samaria. What are you doing talking to me? And he says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me living water. I'd give it to you. And he says, Lord, give me of this water. And then it says in John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I love that part. That was her womanly duty to go get the water. And they'd buried many times on their head. It's not like us that we just open the faucet. You carry that water back into your town and for cooking and for showering, whatever else, washing clothes. And for drinking. But that water just took care of temporary needs. It didn't take care of that deep thirst that she had in her soul. And when she did drink of the water and talk to Jesus, she forgot all about the water pot. And to me, that symbolized her lifestyle, what she was all about. She forgot it and left it behind, and she went into the city to tell others something she'd never done. She started preaching the message of God, the gospel. Why do we preach the word of God? We found someone that did something for us, and now we want to tell the whole world about it. Amen? She left her water pot behind. Saints, let's leave behind her water pot. That water pot that was heavy and burdensome to us, let's leave it behind. Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? That's Luke 15, verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Amen. When I was younger, I saw ministry as burdensome. Preaching to others and living a life of preaching, it didn't appeal to me. I was quiet. I wanted to be in a corner. I didn't want to spend my time dealing with people that were going to disappoint me. I didn't want to dress like a minister. I wanted to dress in style. And I didn't like the church that we were in. To be a minister, you had to sell everything, never get married, be celibate, live by faith. It was a hard decision to make. And I did it. And, you know, some people might say that carrying that sheep on his shoulder, you know, could be heavy. Who knows how many miles he carried it in the hot heat? Would you do it? He did it because, you know, that sheep, what that sheep symbolizes? a lost soul. And while carrying lost souls, bearing their burdens, and trying to help them through their issues and their sin and all the trouble that they've been through, it can seem heavy at times. But you know what? When we find them and we see them wanting to repent and be saved, and we put them on our shoulders and we bear them, we carry them. And I'm so thankful for the ministry that is here, that we don't look at salvation of souls and work with people as a burden. It's a joy to carry them on our shoulders. You know, there are some burdens that God gives us. They're for our own good. You know, have you seen paperweights for papers? You put the paperweight on it. Have you ever turned on a fan and the papers start flying everywhere, or start try doing work outside of the air? It'll blow the paperwork. It'll become trash. But if you put a weight on it, it keeps it nice and organized. It keeps us in its place. And you know what? God wants to give us a burden. Each one has a burden of ministry. You can have a burden of ministry with your children, at your workplace, with your neighbors, or in the ministry itself as a preacher. The ministry of singing, ministry of praying. When we allow the Lord to give us His burdens, He'll keep order in our lives. You know, when a truck is stuck, you know what they do? Pickup truck is stuck. They have people get in the back of the bed, and they press down like that, and the weight in the back of the bed of the truck, when it's stuck, it'll add traction to the tire, and you can get out of the being stuck. Do you feel you're stuck today? Do you feel you're in a rut? Yield yourself to what ministry the Lord has for you, and it's going to redo, refresh, invigorate your life. There's some people who have the ministry of cooking, taking care of the church. There's one right there that's about half asleep because he's been bearing burdens. But you know what? His job is fulfilling. He's living for others. He has that burden, but he's not stuck in a rut. His life is very exciting, right, Brother Rick? Moses found himself in a very difficult situation in Numbers 11:14. Says, I am not able to bear all these people alone. It is too heavy for me. Kill me. Sometimes I'm in the work and I go, Lord, this is just too much. It's overwhelming. But he sends help. Many times there will show up Brother Michael and Sister Renee and the kids. Brother Clint Doolittle and family. Brother Jeremy and family. They help us physically with our burdens, fix the faucet, put in electrical work, help us cook, help us with the children, and our burden is lightened. You know what? He told them, seek 70 elders to help you bear the burden, and I'll put my spirit, Moses' spirit, upon them, and he did. And aren't we thankful that we have helpers to help us with our burdens? Imagine just one person cooking alone in the kitchen. That would be a big job. I cook. I'm the one who does the cooking and preaching in our chapel. Afterwards, I have helpers beforehand, but I'm the one that bears that burden. I lead the singing, pray, special singing, cook. I'm the taxi. I'm the counselor. I'm the shopper, etc. We sure could use a few helpers. So there were 70 sent to help him. And the one that wanted to die, well, it was all lightened. And you know what? I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to send us helpers. Amen? Yes. Brother Ethan has something showed up. So eager to help in the kitchen. Help me make burritos one day. Combination burritos. Brother Ethan Smith. Thank the Lord for helpers. That can lighten our burden when we feel like jumping off a bridge. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 11:28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. And these are burdens that are like in the back of the pickup. It helps us keeps us from getting stuck. It keeps us from flying away. Do you have a burden? Do you carry a burden for lost souls? If you don't have any burden and you're just flying around frivolous, then you need to get under the burden of the Lord. And He'll make your life useful. Amen. Luke 5, 18. And behold, men brought in a man. And behold, men brought in a man, which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. Verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, it says in verse 24 through 25 that he told him, say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And all the people were amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I just love this. I don't know, were they friends? Were they relatives? Who were they? But they had a burden for the man. He would have been heavy. He couldn't carry in his weight. They held him. And then they had to climb up a ladder into the top of the roof. And then let him down with ropes, probably down. And once they took up the roof down, there was a lot of burden bearing. But because there was someone that had the faith and was willing to bear the burden, a soul was healed that day. Are we going to be selfish with our time? We're going to say, no, I don't have time to go visit those sick people. I don't have time to visit the widow saints. You know, we can carry others to Jesus, have a burden, and through prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, help Sister Shasha. We're taking Sister Shasha before Jesus, and he's the one that can help her. Do you have a burden for when you pray? Do you pray for others? Do you pray that God will help your neighbor or your coworker or your brother that's a prodigal or whatever? May the Lord help us to have a burden. And Jesus saw their faith. Oh, may the Lord see our faith, that we do believe and we do bring that burden before him. May we be burden bearers, bearing others before Jesus. Psalm 38, verse 4. Psalm 38, verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Now that, thank the Lord, that's not what the saints carry. We don't carry those iniquities. But there might be some in this room or maybe that will be listening to this message that are carrying heavy iniquities. Heavy things that you've done in the past and you feel ashamed of it. And you wonder if somebody finds out and they take you to court and law, what is going to happen to you? Amen? Do you feel, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden? Again, saints, we can, my brother, my sister, my friend, bring your burden before Jesus. He'll lighten your burden. He'll remove your iniquity. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We need to lay aside every burden and cast it before the Lord. If you have a burden for someone in your congregation, a burden for a family member, you can cast all your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. 1 Peter 5, 7, very familiar verse, also similar. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes people feel that there'll be a burden if they have somebody help them. A burden to that person. We're thankful that it doesn't matter what kind of burden you bring to God. He's not going to say, oh, you know what? You're past. I can't handle this. Leave me alone. We're thankful that he's in the 24/7, 24 hours a day business of accepting our burdens. And it's just the same. You bring your burden to him. Lay it down there. And you can go real light. On the way here, I'll just tell something. God started giving me this message 2 weeks ago. Before we came here, we have a 2000 Chevrolet Adventure that we use for traveling, and the radiator was bad, and I had to replace the thermostat. I had it done, and we didn't have a whole lot of time to test it to see if if that was a problem, because it was heating up, if it was changing the radiator and the thermostat, that was going to help. So we started our trip. The first night we spent in a motel, and I looked outside, and it was dripping antifreeze liquid. And I go, oh, no, that night. Maybe it wasn't in the radiator. It was something else, and it's going to heat up. We're not going to make it to Guthrie. And I might just have to junk the vehicle. And the Lord started telling me, no, what if it's just the water hose that's leaking? Just go tighten it tomorrow. I thought, no, what if it's a water pump? And water's gotten into the oil and everything, and engine's messed up. And I said, no, Lord, you told me I'm going to do what I'm going to be preaching about. If the Lord opens the door, cast your burden. I had to go to the worst case scenario. Okay, so what if the vehicle's run? And so what if I have to sell it for nothing? So what? I'm not going to die. I'm going to make it. But what if tomorrow I find out it's just the water hose leaking and needs a new clamp and we're on the road? So I left it. I had to literally go in my mind the process of leaving that burden before the Lord. And I just rolling it over and over and over. You know what? You can't sleep then. You can't have no peace. It ruins your trip because you're burdened. We need to practice, Lord, I'm laying it, conscious, laying it all at your feet. The worst case scenario happens, so what? I know you're going to help me through it. Well, the next day we took the vehicle. I looked at it, and sure enough, I could see from one of the holes it was leaking where the man had disconnected everything, my mechanic, and then put the radiator in and all the parts. And he used a clamp, but it was those self-clamping clamps, and it was leaking there. And the man saw it, the mechanic where we drove. I was so happy I said, that's probably it. A very minor issue to fix. And he said, you know, you need a new hose. I go, great, let's order it. So he went inside and came back with a clamp, the kind that you tighten, it gets in. And he says, do you have the hose? He goes, no, but you know what? I think with this clamp, it'll tighten enough and you can, I said, we're going all the way to Guthrie, Oklahoma and then back. He goes, it'll make it. So I took off the old clamp, put on the new clamp, tightened it, and the leaks. I turned the car and the leak stopped. And I said, what do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me anything. Not only did I get the problem fixed, but I got it fixed for free in like 2 minutes. What if I had just kept on all night long, not slept, and the next day I couldn't even drive? I'd be with big bags underneath my eye. We need to learn, like it says there, casting. Do you have a care right now? Is it burdening you? I want to tell you, cast it before the Lord right now. Casting all your care upon him. Oh, after he got it fixed, I just wanted to hug him. He started walking away, and I just like this. But I wanted to hug him. He's a big, burly man. And I said, and he walked away. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, so thankful that I didn't waste my night worrying about it. Are you worrying right now? Cast all your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. Psalm 81:6. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. He wants to remove your shoulder from the burden. You don't have to keep on pushing. Leave it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Amen? Is this at all resonating with anybody? Can I hear an amen? To finish, Galatians 6:2. I love this verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's where it comes in, that you're being selfish, and I don't want to go help this, and I don't want to go help that, I want to help with that project, and I want to help the... You go. You know what? I guarantee you're going to be blessed, and you're going to want to stay longer. Go and do the Lord's work. You're going to want to stay longer than is required. Amen? Because there's a joy in living for others. There's a joy in helping others. There's a joy in it. If you haven't discovered, go discover it. Go look for it. Amen? I see a young man nodding his head that's been to India. Amen? And discovered the joy of serving others. And who knows what other places he's been to. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Bear you one another's burdens. Even if you have to eat strange food you've never seen before. And eat it over and over again. Amen? Sleep at night with blurring music that you're not used to at night. Bear you one another's burdens. Someone told about a little cartoon that they saw, one of those cartoons that are drawn and displayed, advertised on the newspapers or magazines. There's a woman sick in bed. The sink is overflowed with dishes. There's a huge basket of unwashed clothes, and illustrating this little cartoon. There's two little dirty children in the corner fighting. And this woman, her friend, sticks in her head through the door with this woman that's sick in bed. She's on her way to do her fingernails. Says, "Flo, if there's anything I can help you with, don't hesitate to ask." There are the dishes piled up and the clothing overflowing and the kids all dirty. And she's going, "If you need any help, don't hesitate to ask." You know, saints, we don't need to be told. You don't need to for someone to tell you. Look and you see the need, go fulfill it. Go help Flo out. Don't let Flo remain in bed suffering. You go help Flo out. Let us bear one another's burdens. May the Lord help us.